today as we come to the table.
But as I said, probably one of the things that I think can sometimes sting our heart the most is what I have noticed as I look back over the years, the one common denominator that happens in marriages that are having a lot of problems, other than just normal trials that the Lord is sending us through, the problems are inevitably only symptoms of the real problem. And the real problem boils down to their personal walk with the Lord, and it's not where it should be. That could sum up the majority, if not all, of marriage problems that I've seen over the limited ministry, that the time that I've had in interacting. It's the personal walk with the Lord. Now, I'm not trying to make this sound overly simplistic.
We are not perfect as humans. Everyone in this world has their own set of issues. We all face problems at work, in our families, and in our relationships. Even in marriage, every couple faces some kind of issue. Whether it's an argument or a difference of opinion, these minor issues can sometimes escalate into major issues in a relationship. What can you do about it? In today's message, Pastor Mark tells you how strengthening your relationship with God can solve any problem in your marriage. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. When you start following the path that God wants you to take, your marriage will begin to improve and every issue will be resolved. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, as he begins his message, The Bible, God's Instruction Manual for Marriage.
Ephesians chapter 5. And some of you are going, Ephesians chapter 5, I thought we were in Genesis. Well, we are. But as I said a couple of weeks ago, God put in my heart to redirect it, to slow down a little bit from Genesis, and to really try to, in essence, almost do some marriage counseling from the pulpit. Now, you know, I've done a lot of marriage counseling over the years, and I don't consider myself any kind of marriage counseling expert. I have simply relied on the Word of God, and that's what we all rely on. But as God brought us to this place, God moved in my heart to get us directed toward looking at the marriages, husbands and wives. And today, in the order here in Ephesians chapter 5, in the order that it's laid out, it starts with the wives. And so we're going to do that, and then we'll work into the husbands next week. And so don't worry, guys, your part's coming. But if there's a title for today, it would be this, The Bible, God's Instruction Manual for Marriage. Because truly, as we talked about last week, part of the problems, and really the main problems in marriages today, is because we don't really know how marriage is supposed to function. And how do we know how marriage is supposed to function? Well, we learn how marriage is supposed to function by the instruction manual. And God is the only one that knows the instructions. He's given us the instructions in His Word. And so that's where we're going to embark for the next couple of weeks. But why don't we pray? Let's ask the Lord to bless it, and let's get our hearts in tune with Him. Father, we thank You for this. Lord, we look so forward to what You're going to do through Your Word. And Lord, as we look at marriage, as we look at husbands and wives and what You've intended for them, and more specifically today, looking at wives, God, we ask for not only Your instruction and Your direction, but God, Your grace. Father, it's a high call You've given us as a husband, and it's a high call You've given us as a wife. And we need not only Your instruction, but we need Your Spirit, Lord, to make it happen. So I pray that as we look today at Your Word in this passage, Lord, that You would minister to us through Your Word and in Your Word as to how to be, Lord, in marriage the way You've designed it, with Your instruction. And so, Lord, we ask Your blessing. We ask You would now open our hearts to receive it. And, Lord, prepare us for what You have. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I have to say that when it comes to doing marriage counseling, it's a lot easier one-on-one than it is from the pulpit. And I think the reason being is typically when you're one-on-one with someone, you know, then you know where they're coming from. They've shared their hearts. You've shared their heart. And you can minister in a way that is appropriate to that particular couple. Whereas when you do it from the pulpit, so to speak, there's a wide gambit in here today. Some of you are struggling right now in your marriage. You're having a very hard time. Some of you are having a wonderful time in your marriage. Things couldn't be better. And so the balance is to realize that as we do this, let the Holy Spirit minister to your heart where you are. This is not, as we go through the Word and we see what God has designed for us to do, it is not to tear us down or to make us see our, as much just only see our failures as it is, but it's to show us what God wants for us so that we can cry out to Him and say, God, these are the areas I need you to work in my life. These are the things I need you to do. So my desire is that God would minister to your hearts as we go through this. And it would not be overwhelming, but it would be something that would simply show us what God's design is. Now remember, whenever you see a design, whenever you hear instruction for something, it doesn't mean that you're necessarily there. It means that you are asking God to now get you there. So as we hold up God's standard for marriage, none of us have the perfect marriage. We all have struggles. We all mess up as husbands. We all mess up as wives. We all go through different times that are difficult and times that seem to run smoothly. But if we don't know what the instruction manual says, we have no hope. We have to at least know how this thing is supposed to work so that we can say, God, these are the areas I need you to help me with and that I need to work on. Now, you know, there's no well-designed equipment that comes without an instruction manual. And there's none that works properly if these instructions are not followed, and so too with marriage. God has designed the marriage to work a certain way, and if that way is not followed, the marriage will not function properly. Now, you can be married, and all you have to do is go through the motions, but for a marriage to function properly, there has to be the application of the instruction manual, which again is what we're looking at today in the Word of God. Now, different people have different views of marriage. Some see marriage as a fairy tale. I know before I got married, and I guess all of us growing up, you tend to think of one day you're going to get married and there's the whole, you know, happily ever after. There's never going to be any problems. You know, it's this kind of fairy tale thing. But as we get a little further along and we get married, we realize the reality of life, and that is even in a good marriage, there are problems. Even in a good marriage, there are difficulties, and there's going to be those. And remember, we talked last week about how God uses even those difficulties to grow us and mature us. So if you're having difficulties, understand God has a purpose for that difficulty. It's not just always just something that the enemy's doing or maybe just a bad day, and certainly those things do occur. But oftentimes, God sends us through these hard times together so that we can grow as a couple. And kind of, I think, oftentimes, the hardest reality is removing this kind of fairy tale picture that we have of marriage. And I think it's important for you to hear that your pastor also has difficulties in his marriage. We've had struggles throughout our marriage. There have been the times that have been great and times that have been hard, and you're going through those as well. So don't think you're the only one that's having a difficulty. If you're having difficulty, I think that 4-year-old Susie understood that the best when she had been told the story of Snow White for the first time. She could hardly wait to get home from the nursery school and tell her mom about the story. And so with wide-eyed excitement, she told the fairy tale to her mother that afternoon. And after relating how Prince Charming had arrived and on his beautiful white horse and kissed Snow White back to life, Susie asked loudly, "And do you know what happened next, Mom? Do you know what happened?" She said, "Well, yes, honey, I know what happened. They lived happily ever after." And Susie kind of got this confused look on her face and said, "No, Mom, they got married." Now, I think sometimes that's what marriage is like for us. We think that it's going to be happily ever after, and then we get into it and we kind of go, "What happened? You know, I don't understand the happily ever after part. I remember saying the vows for better or for better. I remember that, and so I don't understand what it is now that's going wrong." And so God has to show us that reality. We need to understand that it's not a fairy tale. It takes work. Yes, it's beautiful. Yes, it's wonderful, but we have to understand how each part functions together so that it is properly carried out through God's Spirit. Now, on the other hand, some see marriage as a matter of convenience. It's not just a fairy tale. It's something that, you know, it's nice to be married. You don't have to worry about, you know, if I get married, then someone will take care of me when I'm older, or maybe I'll, you know, the financial needs will be better, you know, if you're a woman and you're getting married and you have the security there of a husband and all this stuff. And I read of another lady who said that she wanted to marry at least 4 different men in her lifetime. She said first she wanted to marry a banker, and then she wanted to marry a movie star. Next, she wanted to marry a pastor, and finally, she wanted to marry a funeral director. So when asked why in the world she wanted to marry these 4 different men, she said, "Well, 1 for the money, 2 for the show, 3 to get ready, and 4 to go." And I think sometimes we look at marriage that way too. It can be a matter of convenience, or, you know, trying to maybe, you know, think of security or whatever the case might be. And she covered the whole gambit. But we have to understand that God has not designed marriage to be a fairy tale nor a matter of convenience, but to make us complete and to bring us companionship and joy and to give us a partner in ministry that we might serve the Lord. Remember, we said the highest calling of marriage is that our marriage is a picture to the lost world of God's relationship to His church. that the highest calling of marriage is truly that when people see your marriage, they go, what's different about you? Let us tell you, this is how Jesus Christ is with his bride. And so you can know him as well like we know him. And again, not the standard of perfection. If that was the standard, none of us could ever be a witness. But understanding at the same time that a marriage that's functioning and following the instruction manual, yes, it's going to have the times you've got to change the oil, you know, and you're going to have a flat tire every so often, and all these things are going to happen, but you're going to keep right on running down the road. And so that's what, again, I hope that this comes, that God uses to do in our hearts as we look at this today and next week as well. You know, I speak with people on a fairly regular basis who are struggling in their marriage. And over the years, I've found one common denominator among them all. And sometimes it's kind of difficult. Even as I think about this one common denominator, it may come across even difficult when you hear it. And yet, even as a doctor has the tough job of bringing in the person who's had the accident, you know, and maybe they have to remove some rocks from their skin where they've rubbed on the road and they've got to put the alcohol and do all this kind of stuff. And it's very painful and it's very disturbing. If they don't do it, there's going to be an infection. Gangrene's going to set in. They might lose their entire leg. And if the leg is not removed, it'll take their entire life. So even as a surgeon and a doctor has to do things oftentimes that sting and are painful, the end result is healing. And it's something we want the doctor to do. You know, when I've got a big cut or a big gash, it's not like I want somebody to put alcohol in it or stitch it up. But I know that it needs to be done in order for it not to be infected and for me to heal. And the same thing really is true as a pastor to some degree, because a pastor oftentimes has to deal with those situations where you put a little bit of alcohol on the problem and there's a sting that's there. And understand as we go over these next 2 weeks, if there's a little bit of stings in the hearts of the wife or a little bit of sting in the heart of the husband, it's not intended to tear down. It's intended to build up. It's intended to bring healing. It's intended to bring restoration. And that's why even through this process, especially where marriages are all in different places, we need to show grace to each other. Great grace to our wives, great grace to our husbands. But as I said, probably one of the things that I think can sometimes sting our heart the most is what I have noticed as I look back over the years, the one common denominator that happens in marriages that are having a lot of problems, other than just normal trials that the Lord is sending us through, the problems are inevitably only symptoms of the real problem. And the real problem boils down to their personal walk with the Lord, and it's not where it should be. That could sum up the majority, if not all, of marriage problems that I've seen over the limited ministry, that the time that I've had in interacting. It's the personal walk with the Lord. Now, I'm not trying to make this sound overly simplistic, but in many ways, it's truly very simple. If our walk is good with the Lord, our marriage is good. If our walk is bad with the Lord, our marriage is bad. The two absolutely go hand in hand. Now, I'm not saying that if your walk is good, you'll never have problems. You know, you'll never have those type of problems that destroy a marriage. You're going to have problems. But the difference in marriage-ending problems and just marriage problems is the personal walk with the Lord. Because if the walk with the Lord is intact, when the marriage problems come along, you're going to stick it out. You're going to trust in the Lord to work through it. But if the walk with the Lord is not in place, when the marriage troubles come along, it's going to be a lot easier to walk away, because that's our fleshly tendency, to walk away from pain rather than dealing with it. And I'm also, understand this, not implying that symptoms are simple or small. As a matter of fact, some of you may be experiencing symptoms right now that are overwhelming. They seem huge. It's almost as if this huge weight has just collapsed on top of you and your whole world is coming down. So don't get me wrong that I'm saying that the symptoms are small. I'm simply saying that the root issue is always the same. When it comes to, again, beyond trials and marital troubles, is both, either one or both the husband and wife have neglected their walk in the Lord. And I think, as we examine our hearts and look at ourselves, that can be sometimes painful, especially if indeed we are in a situation where there are struggles in the marriage. You know, it's a lot easier for me to look at somebody else than look at myself. You know, if something goes wrong in traffic, I'm always looking at what that guy did to make the problem rather than maybe I was going too fast or maybe I cut off somebody or did something. Our tendency is always to look to the other person. Remember in the garden, what happened? God says, Adam, what did you do? What happened here? He goes, what's the woman? She did it. And she's the problem, Lord. And then he goes to the woman and says, what did you do? No, I'm not going to, didn't even answer. He didn't even answer Adam. When we get to that, we're going to see this. Like, you know better than that. I'm not even going to answer. And then he goes to the wife and he says, what did you do? What happened here? Well, the devil. He made me do it. He came and tempted me and said these kind of things. And so what God, in the marriage, to restore it, what God has to do is bring us to a place where we stop looking at everyone else as the problem and start looking at ourselves. Now, you might be walking with the Lord and you might be doing everything right. If you are, great. Stay on track. But at the same time, I have yet to see a marriage problem or conflict or difficulty where both were not involved in saying, you know what, my walk's not where it needs to be in the Lord here. And so God will work on that area as well as he begins to confront us personally. Now, Here's a question for us. What if one is walking with the Lord and the other's not? Well, then we keep on walking and trust the Lord to do a work in the other one's heart. We stay focused. We stay where we are and let God move in their heart. God has designed the wife to naturally follow the husband if he will only lead. And God has designed the husband to be broken if the wife doesn't push, but simply lives a godly life before her husband. There's certain ways that God has designed us to respond. I'm telling you, husbands, if you will begin to lead, your wife will follow. It is a natural, built-in God thing. If you don't lead, there's nothing to follow. And wives, the same way, if your husband's not doing what it is the Word tells him to do, you know, you can either try your best to talk him into doing it, or you can just go to the Lord, as it says in 1 Peter 3, and live a life of godliness in front of him. What does it say? It says, without a word, they can be one, even if they don't obey the word simply by your conduct. And so these are important instructions that we need to know so that when we run into difficulties, we have a plan of action. Here's the point. The Bible says that if either the husband or the wife do their part, God will intervene on behalf of the other. He's faithful to do that. But we must begin to focus on ourselves and what we need to do and forget about our spouse. Then God will begin to deal with our partner. So it's learning the first approach. You know, it's interesting. I kind of a strange analogy, but I was thinking about this. If a jet plane were a living creature and in mid-flight, the engine said, you know what? The hydraulics aren't really working the way they should. I'm just shutting down. And I'm not going to run. I'm not going to do anything else until the hydraulics do their part. I'm off. I'm out of here. What would happen to that flight? What would happen to that plane? It would end in destruction. And yet, rather than that, what the wise thing for the engines would be to say is, you know what, I can't control the hydraulics, I'm just an engine, but I'm going to continue on doing what I'm called to do and what I'm supposed to do, and I'll trust in those who are running this contraption to get the hydraulics working. And see, the same thing is true in marriage. If we as husbands do our part, and if we as wives do our part, then we've got to trust in the Lord to take care of the other one and make sure that all the parts work together. But if we say, you know what, I'm just going to shut down, I'm not going to even try to make this thing work, you know, because they're not doing their part, we are doomed to failure. And so again, it takes sacrifice sometimes on our part, especially if we are trying our best to walk with the Lord and the other one's not. So what's the solution? Well, each part does its part, as we said, regardless of the other one. Husbands, if you obey, even if your wife doesn't, God will bless your marriage and God will bless you. Wives, if you obey, even if your husband doesn't, God will bless your marriage and God will bless you. Now, again, I'm not trying to give some kind of, again, fairy tale picture to say that if you do what's right, that your husband's going to suddenly turn around and start walking with the Lord. God says he'll begin to work in their heart to do that. But the reality is that God also gives each of us a choice, doesn't he? And so in giving that choice, your spouse may refuse to be obedient. And if that's the case, you can't change that. But here's what you can do. You can know you stand before the Lord clean because you did what he asked you to do. We can't control others, but we can do what we've been asked to do. And God says, if you do what you've been asked to do, then I will move on your behalf to work in the hearts of the others to make sure they do what they need to do. Now, this is not done by the efforts of our flesh. This is only accomplished by the power of the Holy Spirit as we die to ourselves. And so understand that when we get into this today and as we get into next week, realize that all these issues that we're covering come with a foundation of the Holy Spirit filling our lives and leading our lives, because otherwise it's not going to work. So we come to the first instruction then for a successful marriage as God designed it. You must be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want you to look with me at verse 18. Notice what Paul says here. He says, and do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, in reality, the verses on marriage follow this, but in context, Paul is laying the foundation for all success in every area of the Christian walk before revealing the instructions for marriage. And so again, it's not just going to be for marriage. This is like all the Christian walk, but there's an application here for the Christian marriage. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit just to do this thing called the Christian walk. And that's Paul's point here. Now, the question is, how are we filled with the Holy Spirit? Jesus said, you simply ask. Remember, he said that the Father gives good gifts to, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So what is the first thing we do? We ask, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I need your power. And it's interesting here in the language, it's in the present imperative, which simply means to be constantly or over and over filled with the Holy Spirit. So note that. It's not a one-time thing. Lord, I gave my life to you. Fill me with your Spirit. No, what he's saying is, if we could read this and translate it directly from the Greek into English, is be constantly being filled on a regular basis by the Holy Spirit. That's what it says in verse 18. So the point here is, why do we need to constantly be being filled with the Holy Spirit? Because we need God's power on a regular basis for the Christian walk and an application for the Christian marriage to be successful. That has to be a foundational principle or it's not going to work. It's interesting to me here that he relates it to being drunk. You know, both alcohol and the spirit have similar effects on us in that they alter our behavior in a way that we would not normally act. In our flesh, we're not going to normally do what's right. But under the intoxication of the Holy Spirit, now we'll begin to function in the way that God wants us to function. That's Paul's point. And what a visible picture that is. You've seen people that, you know, are drunk and doing things you know they're going to regret and wish they'd never done. And you look at them going, they're making a fool of themselves. Well, God's not going to have you make a fool of yourself by the Holy Spirit. But Paul's making the point saying, even as it alters their behavior to follow that Spirit, God will alter your behavior to follow His Spirit if you will be filled with Him on a regular basis. And that's what's needed to have a successful marriage. Now, what is the point? Well, being filled with the Holy Spirit will alter your behavior to live as God would have you live and not as you would live naturally. And see, knowing this brings hope. Because now when it comes to your marriage, you're saying, I can't do this. There's no way as a wife I can do this. There's no way as a husband I can do this. I can't do this thing. Then God says, here's your hope. You don't have to do it. If you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit and obey my word, I will do it for you and I will help you to do it. And so God is faithful to do that by His Spirit and through His word. And so maybe you can't do it, but God can through you. And that's the hope that we have. So you see, spending time at God's altar will alter our behavior. And so there's a direct relationship. And again, it comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. So too with the marriage. If the husband or the wife decides they're not going to do what God has asked them until the other does their part, there's going to be the disaster. But if they say, Lord, I'm going to do my part because you've asked me to do it, and I'm going to trust in your Spirit to do it through me, then God's going to bring success in that marriage. Now notice he goes on in verse 19, he says, speaking to one another in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice this here, what being filled with the Spirit does to our lives. Notice here in verse 19, he says, speaking to one another in psalms. That is, speaking to one another in spiritual things, in hymns, and spiritual songs, he says here. What is my point? Guys, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, your speech will be seasoned with things of God. The things of the Spirit, how important is that in a marriage? You know, with our lips, we can tear each other down very well, can't we? And nobody can quite hurt us the way our spouse can because they know us the best. They know our weaknesses the best. And so with our mouth, we have a choice. We can either tear down or we can build up. And the Bible talks about the godly wife. It says the godly wife builds her home up, but the ungodly wife tears it down with her own hands. And so it's the verbal things that we say. The same applies to the husband as well, being built up. And let me say this, and I don't mean to embarrass or put on the spot, but my wife builds me up. And I want to say just as application here, listen, ladies, your husbands will love it. Absolutely love it. When the wife builds them up, now she doesn't lie and say things that aren't true. You know, you're the cutest thing or the strongest. We both know the truth. However, she does say things that build me up.
Well, our time at the table of God's Word has come to a close for today. But what are some things you gained from what you heard? The book of Genesis gets the ball rolling, causing you to think about all kinds of big picture questions. Things related to the creation of the world, why God would allow a worldwide flood, and why were the Israelites His chosen people? These are all good things to think about and to dig further in God's Word. But our hope is that what you heard today has helped solidify some things that might have been in question before. God was specific in how He brought things about. None of it was accidental or haphazard. As you listen through this series, we trust that you'll come to some great realizations about who God is and what He's done and is doing. To listen to this message again or share with a friend, go to thewaymedia.net. Once again, that's thewaymedia.net. Simply click on the Come to the Table tab. If you have some questions about what you heard today, we'd love to pray for you or answer any questions you may have. So reach out to us through the questions and comments link on our website or call us at 865-609-1385. That's 865-609-1385. Please don't hesitate to reach out. We encourage you to stay grounded in God's Word, allowing Jesus to grow you and draw you closer to Him daily, being willing to go where He's guiding you. Pastor Mark has prepared another teaching here in the book of Genesis. So join us again the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.